BMW PGA Championship from Wentworth on Live at European Tour Radio.
Day two of the BMW PGA Championship in inglorious sunshine at Wentworth. We saw a three-way tie at the top of the leaderboard. Thomas Peters was the first to hit the front.
It's on his way and it's in. He goes to 7 under par with a glorious 4 on 17. Peters just showed his skills there.
And he was closely followed by this man.
And that is a really good, solid run from Scott Jamieson after that wobbly start. He is our co-leader at the moment. It's 7 under par. It's a second round 70. He is chuffed to bits with that.
And then it was Fantastico Francesco's turn.
It's a birdie for Francesco Molinari. He becomes one of our three joint leaders, taps it in at 7 under par.
It's been another fascinating day here on Live at European Tour Radio. So stay with us for an in-depth review of all the action from Wentworth. Hello, I'm Richard Kaufman, and I'm joined in the studio by broadcasters Ron Jones and Rupert Bell. Well, what a fascinating second day it's been. I mean, hands up, we thought 68 would be the low score of the day. No one put your hands up, because I don't believe you. Ron, I mean, it was a day where, well, the birdies were hard to come by, weren't they?
They certainly were. I think everyone found it difficult, putting on the greens. The greens are firm. Golf course is in wonderful, wonderful condition, but it's a real test for every single golfer who's out there in these opening two rounds. And, of course, everything has been made so much more difficult and tricky with the wind that we've had. The wind is famous at Wentworth because it swirls around so many trees here. It's absolutely wonderful walking around. But we then see the golfers in the middle of the fairway, changing clubs, talking to their caddies, checking their yardages. It really is difficult. The wind, they're not sure whether it's coming from right to left or left to right. And that has made for a very difficult but a fascinating day of golf.
Yeah, great crowds, but they're not giving that much to cheer. Obviously, I think it will change over the weekend as players go to the top of the leaderboard, etc. But for a second round, it was fairly subdued at times because the difficulty the players were facing.
It may have been subdued, but I got the feeling amongst the galleries that actually they quite enjoyed seeing the players having to work it out and just plot their way. That seemed to be the vibe I was getting when we were out there, that every hole, there was no let-up hole. Even, you know, the every hole required thinking. And you suddenly, there was a danger lurking at any stage. And I think people really appreciate it because the three players we'd be watching, you might see one absolutely loving it, some having a nightmare. So you've got the contrast. And I think that's what the galleries quite liked, because you could see someone absolutely ripping it and the other one just spraying it all over the place. And people enjoyed that element that these pros were having to work really hard for whatever they were earning. And that should be exactly what you get at such an important tournament as this one.
Absolutely. Remember, you can listen to us a number of ways on europeantour.com and the European Tour app, on the course and locally on 87.9 FM, on TuneIn Radio and TalkSport 2. You can contact us on Twitter at European Tour or at BMW PGA. Use the hashtag ET Radio. And you can email us as well, europeantourradio@aol.com. So let's get to the leaders, shall we? Three of them on top. Couple of names that I suppose we shouldn't be surprised to see. Ryder Cuppers now, aren't they? Thomas Peters and Francesco Molinari. The other, the 33-year-old from Glasgow, Scott Jamieson, up there at 7 under par. Peters with a round of 69 in round two. Molinari with a 70. Jamieson also with a round of 70. Let's start with Thomas Peters, first of all. We know about his talent, and I suppose he had the more of the benign conditions in the morning, shooting a 3 under par 69. There was a bit of breeze around, but fair to say it probably wasn't as fierce as it was in the afternoon. The Belgian said he definitely enjoyed his second round.
Much less stressful than yesterday. I hit a lot more greens today. Didn't make as many putts as yesterday, but that's always going to happen. So I'm quite happy about today.
What's been the most pleasing aspect over the first 2 days for you?
Finding fairways, I've been struggling a bit with that. Only hitting 50% of the fairways, and I think I've done really well these last 2 days.
25 years of age, world ranked number 24. Personally speaking, Ron, no surprised at all to see his name up there in contention.
Absolutely not. Every tournament he now enters, he seems to be there or thereabouts, Richard. He's a fine talent. I think more and more people are beginning to realise just how good he is. I mean, there barely seems to be a weakness in his game. He talked there about finding fairways or whatever, but he hits the ball a mile, hits it so, so long, but he hits it pretty accurately as well. And then the rest of his game is in great shape. He's a good putter. I think more and more Thomas Peters will be one of our, well, not just stars of the future, I think he will be a truly great player.
And there's an aura about him. 4 out of 5 points in the Ryder Cup. But we've seen people have star Ryder Cups and then they disappear. Even his compatriot Nicholas Kolsarts is an example of that. There is something different about this guy. The vibe about him, everyone talks about him as a future world number one. You know, there's just, it's not just here and there. There's no doubt this guy is cut with a different cloth. And this would be, again, the building block in his career would be a win here at the BMW PGA. And he now has the tools, the all-round game, and the maturity, it seems, even for one at 25, to cope with whatever's thrown at him. So he will be a player.
Scott Jameson, 5 under par, first round. Starts bogey at the first, double bogey at the third. You thought, well, that's him slipping down the leaderboard. But what a brilliant fight back from him. Birdies galore around the turn. He had a run of, 6 birdies in 7 holes. And rocketing up the leaderboard to 8 under par. He did drop a shot fairly late on one at 15 and couldn't manage to birdie one of the closing par fives. But still, a brilliant round of 2 under par 70 that leaves him also on that 7 under mark.
It wasn't a great start, but they're tough holes. It's a tough stretch of the golf course, those first 3 holes, especially the way the wind was blowing today. So the last thing you need to do in that situation is panic. Just try and take a wee minute to yourself and start again.
7 birdies in 9 holes, though, was a fantastic way to get things back on track.
Yep, the putter warmed up, hit a couple of nice shots, and that was certainly a nice way to turn it around.
Plenty of players are going in the opposite direction this afternoon. Is that a sign of, obviously at this time of day, the greens are wearing, they've had a lot of players on in the day. Is that something you found?
They're just firm, you know, it's just difficult to hit it close. So you've got to be on the fairway if you want to hit it close to the hole.
And tactics for the weekend, it looks as though whatever happens, you're going to be there or thereabouts going into the weekend, which is a fantastic position to be in.
Exactly, it's obviously a massive tournament, it's why we play. So if I can just keep doing what I've been doing the first 2 days, then hopefully I'll be in a good place.
Yeah, happy Glaswegian. He has won on the European Tour, won the Nelson Mandela Championship at the end of 2012. He was in the top 100 of the world then, but he's found it a little tough in recent years, although he did finish third in Delhi at the Indian Open a couple of months ago, which was his best finish on the European Tour in a good few years. So confidence seems to be up from that, Rupert, and it also gives him a platform to relax a little bit because he'd been struggling to keep his card the last few seasons.
Yeah, and the way he went about, after he says in that interview, a really wobbly start. Had a great first round. I don't think he had any bogeys in his round. One or two players, I think, who did that on the first day. And then when you suddenly rock back with a bogey at the first and then a double bogey at the third, you think, well, the wheels are coming off. But actually, he showed great maturity again, and the putter was the key for him because he was really got the pace of the greens spot on. And okay, he had a blemish at 15, but even on the holes towards the end where he had chances, it just didn't quite get them into the hole, but it was a good end, and he must take heart from that. People have said he's a very talented golfer. He just probably hasn't quite fulfilled his talent, but the way he played on Friday, he's right in there with a chance. And we have seen surprise winners here, and it was another Scott. Remember, Scott Drummond. Yeah. Where did he come from? Maybe it's this Scott.
If you believe in other omens, Chris Wood, hole in one in 2015. 2016, won the title. Scott Jameson, hole in one last May at the BMW PGA Championship. Walked away with a nice car. Could he be champion a year later, a la Chris Wood?
Well, yeah, of course he could be, Richard. The thing is, we've considered him a sort of journeyman pro, haven't we, for most of his career, and rightly so. But what I was impressed with today, and what I was impressed with him when he was talking in his interview there, because we talk very, very blandly and very blithely sometimes about patience, you know. But what he indicated was that, as far as his putter was concerned, and he realised that his putter had to get hot in order to compile a really good round of golf, but he was prepared to hang on in there until the putt started to drop again. And then, of course, the great secret is to take advantage of it when you are suddenly finding that the putts are going in. Good luck to Scott Jamieson. I think we all feel that someone like him, who's been around a long time without really accomplishing all the great things that some other golfers do, they sometimes deserve a little break, don't they?
They do. Terrific round of 70 then from Jamieson. Two of them we've mentioned at 7-under. Late in the day, Peters and Jamieson joined at the top of the leaderboard by Francesco Modinari.
Quite pleased with the game. I didn't play, I thought, amazingly well, but I made some good up and downs to keep the round going. And then obviously finished very well, 17 and 18.
Four top tens here in the past. You're going into the weekend looking like you're going to be a joint leader. How much of the experience from those performances can you use over the weekend?
Hopefully a lot, but obviously hopefully at the same time the ending will be different. So as you said, I've been in position before. I just need to keep doing what I did the last few days. The short game has been really sharp, which is important, especially on days like today. So again, I just need to rest and get the energies back and do the same another couple of days.
Yeah, confident sounding Francesco Modinari. Ron, you followed him out on the course. He is an impressive golfer, isn't he?
Oh, without question. He played so well today. He actually shot a 70 to follow his 67 yesterday to go to 7-under. But he compiled it so, so well. I mean, he had a wonderful shot on 18 to give himself an eagle opportunity, which he just missed, tapped in for his birdie. But the shot that I think I will remember, certainly for a long, long time to come, was his bunker shot on 14. We all know how lethal that can be. When you're in that back bunker on the left-hand side, on the top left, he just popped that out, and he must have had only maybe the size of a handkerchief on which to land his ball. He accomplished that absolutely perfectly, and then ever so gently it rolled down the slope. My goodness me, I mean, it's terrifying, isn't it? It goes straight off the bottom of the green, instead of which it cozied up to what? 8 inches. It was a wonderful, wonderful shot. Memorable.
Okay, well, they're the top three, obviously, all tied at the top. There is a chasing pack. It's quite a big one, obviously. One man on his own, though, at 6-under par. I suppose a surprise name. He hasn't won on the European Tour. Talking about Max Kiefer, the German with a round of 68. He went on an unbelievable run at the start of the back nine. He birdied the 11th, eagled the 12th, birdied the 13th, birdied the 14th, and he got really unlucky to bogey the 15th. He was in the sand, hit a bunker shot, and it would have been no more than a couple of feet away. It hit the flag and spun away to about 20 feet, dropped a shot there, and in the end, a 68 finished at 6-under par. And 68, the low round of the day. That's quite extraordinary, Rupert, isn't it? Luke Donald and a man you watch, Beef, Andrew Johnston, also managed that target.
And Beef's round was very creditable because he started poorly and he just grafted his way. And then, the thumbs up got bigger and the crowd got more energised because they just respond to him because he's just an infectious character. And you warm to him so simply, but his golf does the talking. And the 68, that's proves how difficult it was, and his round was a terrific effort. Beef in contention. Luke Donald's was a great recovery mission. But for Max Kiefer, again, we've just been talking about Scott Jamieson, it's a chance for him to put his mark, and there's a step up, and he won't be familiar with many of the people in the galleries, but he can play, and that 68 shows he can.
Yeah, terrific performance from him. Donald finished at 1-under par. Beef, as we were mentioning there, 68 also, he finished at 3-under par. But there's a tie for fifth at 5-under par, and there's some of those big-name players tucked in there. Henrik Stenson, Lee Westwood, Brandon Grace, former champion Ben Ahn of Korea. Westwood, well, he was delighted with his first two rounds here at Wentworth.
Yeah, played well both days. Very solid, only a couple of bogeys, which is good around this golf course. You've got it well, keep it in the fairway, get maximum control into the greens, and put it nicely as well, so I'm pleased with the way I'm playing. I'm still learning the greens, they're not putting the same as they used to, obviously, and that's a good thing. The relaying them's a massive improvement, and they're much truer, but you sometimes have it in your head when you're walking under a green what your putt's going to do, and it's doing completely the opposite, so
should be hitting and reading every putt on its merits, and sometimes you don't. But yeah, all in all, it's been good, and the golf course is in great condition. We're getting some fantastic weather, so I'm looking forward to the weekend.
He's at the age now, Lee Westwood, isn't he, Rupert? The talent can start to dwindle, but there are no signs that is the case for Lee.
He's as hungry as ever. That's the interesting. He's very relaxed. We've all written him off many times. I've kept writing him off, but he keeps defying. 24 times he's been here. We're desperate for him to win. He's probably desperate to win. I just hope he finds a way to getting over the line, particularly here at Wentworth. He's been close on numbers of occasions, and it would be just reward for perseverance and no little talent, because we know how good a player he is. He just wish he could find in the key moments, and he's not trying too hard to get over the line in the big tournaments, which has possibly been his undoing, and he can get that putter working for those 8-footers on a regular basis over the weekend.
Well, Henrik Stenson showed some of the magic we witnessed last summer at the Open Championship, so he's hoping his game is peaking at just the right time.
Absolutely. I got off to a pretty good start, kind of running on the success of last year, early doors, and then I've had a couple of months here when I haven't really played well, and been a lot of things going on off the golf course as well that takes away some focus and attention. So I'm at that stage. I'm working on my game, trying to improve and get things where we want them for the summer.
But still nicely placed here going into the weekend.
Yeah, I think if you can get to about a dozen under, I think you'll be there and thereabouts by Sunday. So that's what we're kind of trying to get to.
It wouldn't be surprising if he is around there Sunday evening, Ron.
No, it won't at all. By his own admission, he isn't yet at his best. You sometimes see him. I mean, he is such a wonderful ball striker. He looks so strong. He looks so athletic. He's got the lot, hasn't he, Henrik Stenson, as we saw in that wonderful final round at Troon in the Open last summer. I was chatting yesterday with Pete Cowan, his coach, and he says Henrik hasn't been particularly interested up to now. He's had so much to do following his Open win and various other things, personal things and whatever. But he said he is back really working now, and he said a little bit of time, he's getting there. Well, if he's getting there and he's 5 under, my goodness me, he's very much in contention, and I wouldn't bet against him winning this.
Okay, well, Stenson 5 under. There's another Swede that's got to 5 under par. Johan Carlsson had a tough start to his second round. Of course, he was the overnight leader after day one. He had 4 bogeys on the front nine to turn in 38. But birdies at 14 and 15 took him to 5 under par with 3 holes left to play. A bunch of players at 4 under par as well. Graham Storm, one of those that hit the front. Jaco van Zyl, the South African, with a round of 69 that included an eagle at the fourth. Andrew Doate, another on the 4 under par mark. He shot a 70. And Ollie Fisher, who got going to 6 under par, drop shots at 16 and 17. He came in the studio a little earlier on in the day as well. All in a top 10 position at 4 under par. Other scores to bring you. We mentioned Andrew Johnson, Bernd Wiesberger, 3 under par, as is Tyrrell Hatton and Ross Fisher, who I watched out on the fairways. He shot a 1 over par round in day two, but he didn't hardly hit a fairway. Some great scrambling from Ross. Soren Kjeldsen, Kiradek Apibarnerat, Peter Uihlein, and Shane Lowry at 2 under par. Nice birdie finish from Shane. Those at 1 under par, we mentioned Luke Donald. Alex Noren, another fancy to go well this week. 1 under par, he's only 6 shots off the lead. Former champion Matteo Manassero and Ernie Els, of course, has had a big part to play in how this course looks this week. They're at level par. Ian Poulter battled well, didn't he? 3 under in his second round, alongside the former Masters champion Danny Willett at 1 over par. And other players making the cut who will go out early on Saturday morning: Alex Levy, Andy Sullivan, Chris Wood, the defending champion, Matt Fitzpatrick, Justin Rose, and the Ryder Cup skipper, Thomas Bjorn, all at 2 over par. Is it beyond them, Ron? I mean, they're 9 shots back. We've seen Rory McIlroy win it 7 back going into the final round.
I think it's going to be tough for them. There's so many good players in front of them. Not beyond the bounds of possibility on this course, which will certainly take a toll on anyone who is not at his best. but it might be just a little bit too much to ask. I wouldn't be at all surprised. Someone like Tyrrell Hatton, for example, who's been going so, so well over the last couple of years, really, he is capable, certainly. He almost invariably these days gets a top 10 finish. Now, whether he can get into top three or whatever, we shall see. Wiesberger is excellent, there's no doubt at all about that, a very high-class player. I would think Wiesberger, Hatton, I wouldn't put any money against them pushing on tomorrow and getting very close on Sunday, but it might be just a little bit too far back.
Well, yeah, four shots off the lead. At the time of recording this right now, it's a case the cut mark is at two over par. Could go to three over par, though I've got to say that seems a little less likely than maybe it did around 5:30 this afternoon. But, yeah, the two overs definitely are in for the weekend.
And the way that some of those on two over got there over the final holes, you've got to say fair play. Justin Rose and Andy Sullivan both looked as if they were going to have weekends off. I saw Andy Sullivan have a nightmare on 16, a triple bogey 7, hook his drive on 17, and then play a fabulous approach shot. He got a par on 17, a fabulous approach shot at the 18th to get a birdie to give himself hope, because when he walked off the 18th, it was looking as if it was one over par, but that was real grit. And Justin Rose responded from being four over par, and I think five over par at one stage, and then he ends up with an eagle on the 18th. That is real class and actually shows fighting spirit, even if it appears that he may not be in a winning position for the weekend.
Okay, well, the shot of the day, that came from our co-leader who hit this beauty into 18.
Molinari has come off a beautiful birdie on 17. Long iron in the hands. Looks good. He struck it well. He's going towards a pin. If it's the right club, it is beautiful. It is a cracking golf shot. He's got an eagle now to go to 8 under par. What a beautiful golf shot from Molinari.
Yeah, Francesco Molinari, Ron, you witnessed it. Just to mention, his brother Eduardo, among those that missed the cut, 7 over par for Fabrizio Zanotti, who many thought might go well this week, 7 over par. Tommy Fleetwood and Martin Keimer both missing the cut. But Francesco, you mentioned he had a wonderful shot as well out of the bunker at 14, but that was another beauty, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. Into the wind. We all know how difficult that green is to hit. It was from 217 yards. He absolutely nailed it, as I say, into the wind. Just landed it perfectly and rolled it up. And what, he had about a 14-footer for eagle. It would have been great had he been able to hold the eagle. That would have given him the outright lead on his own, and that shot alone deserved that. As it was, it just ended up, what, 2 inches or so from the hole. Simple tap in for birdie, so now he's a joint leader, but again, one of the memorable shots, and certainly for all the golf that I saw today, that was the shot of the day.
Well, it won our shot of the day, that's for sure, Ron. So, round three coming up, Saturday, Wentworth. We don't know yet exactly if they're going to be two balls and three balls. Given where the cut is right now, looking good for two balls. If that is the case, the final pairing will be Thomas Peters and Francesco Molinari, Ryder Cup teammates. They could be joined by Scott Jameson if it goes to three balls, of course. But you know, we can't. You know, the crowds can't complain with a final pairing like that.
That is a box office. Two slightly contrasting players, but all the flair that you need. Ron's been alluding to Molinari's touch around the greens. You've got the power of Thomas Peters, also coupled with his innate instinct for the game. That is a great pairing, if that's the way it shapes up. And I think that is box office, and that's just what you need for an event like this. The last pairing out on moving day, to have a couple like that is tasty.
Ron, who are you looking forward to seeing maybe make a move tomorrow then?
I'm looking forward to seeing Lee Westwood. I must admit, I would love to see Lee Westwood make a real move tomorrow, get him right up there amongst the leaders. I mean, he's not far away now, of course. Henrik Stenson is such a good player. The one thing I will never, ever forget in my sporting life is Stenson's win and that final round last year at the Open at Troon. If he can reproduce anything like that sort of form, then he will win here, no doubt at all. So I'm looking forward to seeing Stenson, Westwood. Brandon Grace has played well too over two rounds, plus Thomas Peters. Those will be my four to watch.
Well, the weather has been fantastic, hasn't it, the first couple of days. there's a chance things might not go our way for Saturday, but fingers crossed it does set fair. But that's all we've got time for here, for now at least, on our Live at European Tour review show of what's been a fantastic Friday here at the BMW PGA Championship. Just to remind you, we've got a three-way tie at the top. Thomas Peters, Scott Jamieson and Francesco Molinari all out in front at 7 under par. Make sure you join us 9 a.m. Saturday morning live at European Tour Radio, full uninterrupted commentary of moving day here at Wentworth. You can listen to us europeantour.com, the official European Tour app, tune in radio across the UK on TalkSport 2, as well as on the course at 87.9 FM. We'd love to hear from you as well. You can email us europeantourradio@aol.com. But for now, from Ron Jones, Rupert Bell, and from myself, Richard Kaufman, bye-bye.
You've been listening to Live at European Tour Radio.